Chapter 9. Andrew arrived back home early in the morning, and it was still dark outside. He had tried to sleep but couldn't, so went up to the office to do some work. Deborah was coming back from the bathroom when she looked out of the corridor window and saw the light on in the office. It was pitch black out, and the yellow light lit up the night sky. She put on her dressing gown and walked over to see what was going on. She pushed open the main door and walked upstairs, noticing the broken door from when Justin had slammed it. Andrew was sat at his computer with a tumbler full of brown liquid. "What are you doing?" she asked, walking over to him.
"I'm working. What does it look like?" replied Andrew, taking a drink.
"I can see that," Deborah scoffed, looking at the glass in his hand.
"I meant, I thought you were at Justin's this weekend for the big coming out."
Andrew stood up and walked over to the filing cabinet, laying his glass on the side.
"Yep, that was the plan. Except I'm here. What does that tell you?"
Deborah sighed and sat down on his chair. Andrew picked up a file from the cabinet, accidentally knocking the tumbler in the process, causing it to smash to the floor. The liquid splashed all over the carpet.
"Crap!" exclaimed Andrew.
He sighed, picked up a nearby empty cardboard box and started to pick up the shards of glass, cutting himself in the process.
"Ouch!"
he said, grasping his bleeding finger. He cursed and kicked the wall. Deborah sighed and walked over to him, picking up a paper towel and wrapping it around his finger.
"That's why you shouldn't drink this late," she said,
smelling the strong perfume of the whiskey now soaking into the carpet.
"It's too late for everything," replied Andrew.
He winced as Deborah wrapped the tissue tightly around his bloody finger.
"Andrew, don't force Justin to go at your speed. He's not in the same place as you."
Andrew looked away.
"He needs to tell the truth."
Deborah exhaled.
"And how long did it take for you to tell me? Can you imagine someone forcing you to do it?"
Andrew turned back around.
"But I did tell you. That's the difference, Mum. He's too much of a coward."
Deborah gently slapped his cheek.
"Justin is not a coward. He's young and needs help."
"But I love him, Mum," Andrew whined, looking away. Deborah nodded and put her hand on her son's arm.
"Then you need to be patient, Andrew, or you'll risk losing him. He's a good guy. You'd be a fool to give up on him."
They stared at each other for a moment in silence. Andrew got up and slinked off to the toilet. Deborah sighed and picked up the rest of the glass. Justin and Jennifer got back home late the next day. Justin threw his bag on the floor and went into his room. He turned and saw Jennifer looking at him. They had not said a word to each other the whole of the journey home. Justin shut his door and flicked on his speakers, which started pumping out heavy bass music. He lay back on his bed and lit a cigarette. The sound of a phone ringing pierced through the music.
"Justin, that's your phone in your bag," yelled Jennifer.
Justin didn't move and took another puff of his cigarette. Jennifer rifled through Justin's bag and pulled out his buzzing phone.
"Hello?"
she said.
"Oh, hi, Andrew. Let me just get him. Be warned, he's being a sulky baby."
She slid open Justin's door and tossed the phone to him.
"You know who it is,"
she said, slamming the door shut. Justin picked up the phone and saw Andrew's name on the screen. He hung up and threw the phone on the bed next to him. Andrew sat back in the chair in his bedroom, looking down at the phone as the call hung up. He looked over at the table, where he had laid up two place settings. He looked down at the letter he had just finished writing to Justin, running his fingers over the sign-off, which simply read, "I love you." He sat for a moment in silence, then sighed, before scrunching up the letter and tossing it in the bin. He stood up and started to pack a bag with things and walked over into the main house. Deborah was already inside preparing lunch.
"It's not ready yet," she said, not turning around.
"I know. I'm not eating," said Andrew. "I'm going to London." Deborah turned around and looked at him.
"Now?"
Andrew nodded. "I was invited to a conference. I forgot about it."
Deborah raised her eyebrow at him and turned around.
You must think I was born yesterday, she said, carrying on with preparing lunch. When will you be back?
Andrew opened the door again.
Not sure, he replied.
Sorry to leave you alone.
Deborah turned around.
I won't be alone. Justin will be here.
Andrew said nothing.
What's going on with you two? Deborah asked.
It's over, Andrew muttered.
Deborah went to speak, but Andrew waved goodbye and closed the door, before walking down the path to his car. Deborah looked out the window and saw Andrew drive off, and she sat down at the table.
For God's sake, she said to herself, rubbing her forehead. I can't let this happen again.
Early the next morning, Charlie and Diane were opening the shop, putting out the signs and restocking the shelves. Deborah looked out of the window and saw someone looking through the glass. It was Deborah. She made her way inside the shop and greeted them.
Hello, are you Mr. and Mrs. Reed, Justin's parents?
Diane looked at her and nodded.
I'm Deborah Clark. Justin is doing his internship at our firm.
Diane smiled.
Oh, you must be Andrew's mother, she asked.
Deborah nodded.
I was wondering if I could possibly speak to you and your husband, Deborah said, looking around.
There were already a few people in the shop, and Diane looked around at them.
Perhaps somewhere more private? Deborah added.
Charlie and Diane looked at each other with a raised eyebrow. Diane smiled for a moment and showed Deborah through to the living room that connected to the shop through an adjoining corridor. Charlie managed to clear the shop and turned the sign on the door to closed.
Please take a seat, Diane said.
She went to the kitchen and fetched Deborah a glass of water. In the meantime, Charlie entered the room.
I thought you might want something to drink. Justin told us you were ill.
Deborah took the glass and frowned at Diane.
Ill?
Asked Deborah. Diane looked at Charlie, not wanting to say the word.
Oh, you mean my cancer? Yes, I did have it years ago, but I'm much better now, thank you.
Diane sat down on the chair opposite Deborah, and Charlie put his arms on her shoulders.
I'm glad, Diane said, smiling.
So, how can we help? Asked Charlie.
Is there something wrong with Justin? Is there an issue with the internship? Asked Diane, leaning forward. No, no. Well, there is a problem, but not with the internship, replied Deborah.
She looked down.
What do you mean? Asked Diane.
Deborah took a sip of water and placed the glass on the table. Her hands were trembling.
It's a bit of a difficult situation. I don't know if I should even be here, replied Deborah,
her nerves making her smile slightly.
Well, if there's a problem, we need to know, replied Charlie.
He smiled briefly. Deborah smiled back before her face fell expressionless.
Well, then yes, there is a problem, but it's a problem between Justin and Andrew.
Deborah looked and twiddled her fingers before looking back at them. She inhaled, held her breath, and then released it.
The two of them are in love.
Charlie frowned and stepped back. Diane scoffed and tilted her head sideways, looking up at Charlie.
What?
Diane laughed.
That makes no sense, Charlie snapped.
You must be mistaken. Justin has a girlfriend, said Diane with an odd smile on her face.
Deborah nodded.
Yes, I know. I've met Jennifer.
She looked at both of them for a moment. Their faces were unlike anything she had seen, vacant and confused. Diane had her arms crossed and Charlie was pacing.
But that's a lie. They've never been together. Justin is gay and it's Andrew who he's in a relationship with.
The words seemed to hit Diane and Charlie like bullets, going straight through their bodies, wounding them from the inside. Charlie stopped pacing and walked back to put his arms on the back of Diane's chair.
Is this the truth?
He asked. His voice was trailing off.
I don't lie, Mr. Reed, replied Deborah.
Her face was stern and the look in her eyes showed her sincerity.
I know it's difficult to hear, but that's why I came. They need our support.
Charlie stood back and pointed to the door.
I think you need to leave now, he said.
Deborah looked at Diane and then back at Charlie. She tried to say something, but the words wouldn't come out. She got up and Charlie walked her to the door. Just before she went out, she turned back to look at Diane, but she was just in a state of shock staring at the wall. Deborah left and Charlie shut the door behind her. The two of them stood there for a moment, neither of them sure what to say. Back at the flat, Jennifer decided to intrude into Justin's room.
Do you think this will solve your issues, locking yourself in your room?
She asked as she slid open Justin's bedroom door. He was sat on his bed smoking. He hadn't left his room for days, and the room was full of the smell of stale smoke.
I'm not looking to solve my issues. There is no solution, replied Justin.
Jennifer sat down on the bed next to him and put her arm around him.
Don't be angry at me, Justin. I'm sorry for what I said, but it was the truth. Anyway, it was Andy who left you, not me.
Justin took another puff of his cigarette and stared at the wall.
Why don't you call him?
Asked Jennifer. Justin scoffed.
And say what? You're right, I'm a coward. I'll tell my parents and let's get married.
Jennifer put her hand on Justin's back and stroked it.
Why not? You're in love. It's rare to find someone like him. Don't let your parents ruin your life.
Yeah, well, it's not my fault, replied Justin, exhaling a plume of smoke. I didn't ask to be gay.
Jennifer sat back against the wall.
Poor Justine. Is this really what you want your life to be?
The doorbell rang. Jennifer hopped to her feet and ran over to the door.
Listen, Princess Justine. Maybe this is your Prince Charming coming to save you.
Jennifer answered the intercom and looked at the video screen. It was Charlie. She buzzed him in.
Justin, it's your dad.
Justin frowned and got up, walking out of his room. There was a knock at the door and Jennifer opened it. Charlie flew inside and walked straight up to Justin, so close that his nose was almost touching Justin's face.
Dad, what's going on?
Asked Justin, stepping away. Charlie looked at him and shook his head. He suddenly reached up and slapped Justin in the face before walking back to the door. The sound of the impact broke the silence in the room and reverberated around the whole flat. Justin stood there for a second, stunned beyond words, and Jennifer was stood against the door, mouth open in a state of shock. Justin held his hand to his face and walked after Charlie.
Dad, what the hell?
Charlie turned around and glared at the pair of them. His eyebrows twitched and his eyes were glassy.
You disgust me, the two of you, taking us for fools, pretending you're together when it was you and Andrew that were together this whole time.
He walked back to the door and picked up a black bag of Justin's things. He threw it to the floor, causing all the contents to spill onto the floor.
We never want to see your face again. Don't ever come back to the house.
Charlie walked down the corridor and down the stairs. The main front door slammed shortly afterwards. Justin stood in silence, realizing his greatest fear had come true. He looked at Jennifer, and the two of them stood there motionless. A few moments passed and Justin's eyes were moving at a rapid pace. They suddenly stopped and looked up at me.
That bastard Andrew!
Yelled Justin.
What do you mean?
Asked Jennifer, putting her arm on Justin, but he pushed it away.
He said he wanted to tell them about us, and he did!
Justin screamed. He grabbed his coat off the hook and ran down the corridor.
Justin, wait!
Jennifer yelled, but it was too late, and he had already made his way outside and sprinted to the bus station. Justin arrived at Andrew's place a little while later, but his rage had not subsided. The blood was still rushing around his face, causing it to redden and the veins in his temple were pulsing. He ran down the path, kicking up piles of gravel in the process. He pushed the gate open with all his force, causing it to slam against the sidewall and chipping the brick wall. Deborah was in the greenhouse and saw Justin running down the path.
Justin!
She shouted after him. He didn't reply and went straight for the office. He ran to the door and pulled the handle to try and open it, but it was locked. He stood back and ran at the door, shoving all his weight against it. When that didn't work, he kicked the door repeatedly, splintering the frame and eventually breaking the door open. He ran up the stairs into the office, almost tripping over in his haste. He looked around and went over to the files stacked on the shelves. He grabbed the papers and pushed them onto the floors, slamming his foot on top of them and scrunching up the paper. He picked up the files and started tearing at them with his hands like a wild animal. He gritted his teeth and screamed. His eyes were wild and his nostrils were flaring.
"Justin!" shouted Deborah, running into the room. "What are you doing?"
Justin grabbed the wooden filing cabinet and pulled it as hard as he could, breaking it off the wall and sent it crashing to the ground. The unit cracked as it fell, and the papers spilled out onto the floor.
"Stop!" Deborah cried. "That bastard!"
Justin screamed back.
"Calm down!"
Deborah tried to stop him, but Justin pushed her off him.
"Where is he? I'll kill him!"
Justin grabbed a glass paperweight off the desk and hurled it against the wall. Deborah recoiled and put her hands over her ears as it smashed into tiny pieces all over the floor, leaving a huge dent in the plasterboard. She slowly looked up at him and removed her hands from her ears.
"He's in Paris. He's not here. What's going on?"
Deborah pulled Justin towards her.
"He told my parents. I'll kill him."
Justin turned around and looked for something else to break. He saw the computer on the desk. His eyes locked in and he walked over. Deborah saw what he was about to do and went after him. Justin yanked the cable connecting the mouse and it snapped off, almost pulling the monitor off as well. But Deborah leant forward and stopped it from toppling over.
"No, stop! It was me!"
Deborah grabbed Justin again, pulling him away before he lunged at the monitor again. Justin turned his head around and looked at her.
"What?"
Deborah put her hands on his shoulders.
"It was me. I told your parents. Andrew knows nothing about it. I thought I was helping."
Justin took a second to comprehend. He widened his eyes and grabbed his hair.
Helping? What the hell, Deborah? What about my mom? Did you think about her, you selfish cow?"
Justin shoved past her and ran down the stairs. Deborah rushed to the window and saw Justin run back down the garden path and out of sight. She looked around at the state of the office, with broken furniture and torn-up papers littering the floor. She leant back against the wall and slumped to her knees and began to sob.
"What have I done?"
she said, before curling up into a ball and lying on the floor.